This past Wednesday night was a very unique service. And God moved in a very, very special manner. You know, at the end of the praise and worship, well, we had a couple of words that came forth, and then I thought that I was going to be able to just go ahead and begin to minister the word that He had given me, but there were greater needs in here. And the Lord told me, and I shared it with you, how that there were people here who had been seeking a fresh touch from the Lord. And if that's you, you know, come on up. I'm supposed to pray for you. Well, not everybody came up at first. But when folks began to see what God was doing, everybody started coming up. And the anointing and presence of the Lord was so strong that, to the best of my knowledge, everyone who came up for prayer received a word from the Lord. Some kind of prophetic word. And over the years, you know, I've been in services like that to where there were prayer lines and a lot of people would get words and what all. And I've received words from different people. And what I'm going to do today is talk a little bit about and share with you from the Word here some things about what do you do when you receive a word like that? You know, what do you do with it? And essentially, if you want titles, the title today is Stewarding Personal Prophecy. Stewarding Personal Prophecy. And I'd like you to open first to Proverbs chapter 15. You see, one of the things that the enemy would like to do is to get us to dismiss these prophetic words that come forth. And one of the reasons that it's sometimes easy for us to do that is because of the vessel that's being used to deliver the word. All we see is a human being. And it's interesting how so many people over the years have said things like, you know, I want a word from the Lord, I want a word from the Lord. And they'll go to the services, especially if the guest speaker is known to be used by God in the gift of prophecy or, you know, words of wisdom, whatever. I want a word from the Lord. So they come hoping to receive a word from the Lord. And everybody's assumption is the word they receive is going to be one of those, you know, everything's coming up roses. You're going to be rich and own the world in a few weeks and so on and so forth. Or a word that will somehow publicly acknowledge their ministry. And I've known people like that, where they want to get a word of prophecy from the preacher, and they want that word to be given in front of the whole congregation so that everybody will see that they are somebody. And I've known of folks that went to services like that, hoping to get a word like that. They didn't get the word like that, and so now the preacher's no good. Other people got words, but they didn't get the word they wanted. Well, listen, I can tell you right now, God is not going to feed pride. So if you show up hoping to get a word just to make you look good in front of other people, you will not be getting a word. Years ago, I used to hope that the preachers would call me out and give me a word. Oh, I hope they call me. You know, sometimes they do that. You know, would you stand up? Would you stand up? And so forth. God's done that before here. And I used to show up hoping, you know, call me out, you know. And you almost want to kind of like raise your hand. You know, here, I'm here too. I'm here too. Or, you know, kind of move to catch, you know, their vision as they're looking. And I used to, like I said, I used to go to the service hoping to get that word from the Lord. And there were services where it didn't happen, and yeah, I was kind of disappointed. And then services where it did happen, and yeah, I felt, you know, that's cool. I got a word. Everybody saw that I got a word. You see, did you see that? I got a word. If you missed it, we'll get it on video for you. We'll show it to you again. I got a word. Well, nowadays, honestly, I can tell you, it doesn't matter to me if I get a word or not. I really don't care. I have no interest whatsoever. My attitude is, okay, you know, God, you want to do it, that's fine. That's fine. But Yeah, I don't need it. I don't need to get a word from you. Because I figured out that I can get my own word from God. And trust me, a lot of the things that God could say, you better thank Him that He's not saying in these words. God's a whole lot nicer to us than what we deserve when it comes to these prophecies. And there have been times where a prophecy has gone forth, a prophetic warning has gone forth. The Lord's used me to give it, and I know who it's for. But He has not released me to call the person out. Thus saith the Lord, you. But the person has known that the word was for them. Well, when you receive a word, what do? Let's look here in Proverbs 15. Look at the verse 3. Proverbs chapter 15. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. In other words, God sees everything. Absolutely everything that goes on. The words that He gives, all of these words, are based upon what He sees and what He knows. So whatever word that you receive from the Lord, it's because of what He sees, not necessarily what you perceive or what you think. As He gives these prophetic words to people, many times these words are things that they were not aware of or they weren't clear on. But God sees it. He sees the beginning from the end. And good or evil, I mean, no matter what it is, He sees these things. Now, I want you to look over in Isaiah chapter 50. So the prophetic words that God gives are based upon what He sees. The good and the evil, everything else, all of it. In Isaiah chapter 50, look in verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He walketh walketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Now, when God moves on people to give them prophetic words, you'll notice who it is that's giving this prophetic word. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season. Ministers can make these things up. And there are times when I'll be in front of a person and I'm praying and so forth, and I'm sensing that the Lord wants me to say something, but I will pause. And I'll pause to be sure that I'm hearing God. Because it would be easy for me to speak out of my own knowledge and my own prior relationship with the individual. And there are times that the words that He gives me do concern things that maybe that person has shared with me. I'm very hesitant to give words like that, because it can sound like I'm speaking out of my head because I already knew such and such. And so I always on the inside want to confirm with God, okay, I'm to do this. I'm to say this. And it says here, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. If you remember Wednesday night, the Lord said that there are people who are seeking a fresh touch from the Lord. A refreshing. Or in other words, there's some kind of weariness, you know, to paraphrase from this verse. And the Lord wants to address it. And the Lord will use ministers to give words. And you'll notice here, it's a word in season. Meaning that once this word is spoken, it becomes a word in season for your life. It's not just what you need to hear for that moment, but it becomes the season for that word. Just like when you have fruit trees. There are certain times of the year when different fruit trees will produce their fruit. And when that fruit begins to be produced, it's the season for apples, or the season for oranges, or the season for tomatoes, you know, whatever it would be. Well, it now is the season in your own life for this particular word. And so God has delivered this word to you, because now it's time for this word to be delivered. Will God use anybody to give a word? Well, He can, yeah. And I know of a lot of people that have given words that just don't... I just don't know where they're coming from. I remember one time the Lord gave me a word for a person, and they absolutely did not receive it. Absolutely did not. So I thought, okay. And what happened, this person was, I guess we can say it, politely perturbed over this word. The perturbing word, hallelujah. And so, and I had emailed it to this person. So they emailed it to another preacher to try to get this other preacher to agree with them to come against me. And the other preacher contacted me about it and said, you know this word that you gave so-and-so? And I said, yeah. They said, sounds right to me. See, there are a lot of times people say, I want to hear from God, but they're not prepared to really hear from God. Because the assumption is God's only going to say good things. He's not going to rebuke me. He's not going to try and correct me. He's not going to try to point out to me where I'm making mistakes. And there are a lot of Christians that are walking in such levels of pride that they just flat out are not open to what God would really say. The pattern for this is in the Old Testament. How many times did the prophets stand up and tell people, repent or die? And they would say, who are you? Why all the other prophets say otherwise? Who are you? Who are you? We should kill you for saying such a stupid thing. Well, you know what happened? They don't repent, they die. Well, God speaks the word in season. And now, this is so simple, but critical that you get a hold of it. God is the source of this word. God is the source of this word. It says right here, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the Lord. In other words, God has put in my mouth what to say. God has put in my mouth words to speak that otherwise I wouldn't know, I wouldn't have. Somebody came up to me after the service Wednesday night. Said, you want confirmation? I said, well, yeah, sure. And they said, what you said in that prayer line is exactly what God said to me a few days beforehand. Almost word for word. That's confirmation. And all too often what we do, as I mentioned earlier, is we look at the vessel, the individual, the person. You know, here Isaiah is writing this, and Isaiah is saying, God has given me this tongue. God's given me these words. So what we do is we look at the Isaiah in front of us, and we hear the words coming from the Isaiah, and we say, okay, well, you know, thank you very much. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we don't actually sit down and really think about the fact that this is God, the creator of the universe, that has spoken this. That God has given that individual the tongue of the learned. And this person is speaking this. There have been times I've prayed for people and they've come to me after the fact and said, you know what you prayed for me? There is no way that you could have known that unless God revealed it to you. No way. I prayed for people and they've told me after the fact, you know what you prayed for me? Yeah, that is exactly what I was praying as I was driving to church tonight. I mean, on and on this kind of thing goes. And this is not to puff me up. It's what I'm trying to do is get us to focus on the fact that these words, these genuine words, come from God. Okay? Very important. They come from God. You say, well, I understand that, Brother Martin. They come from God. All right, well now, since you understand that and you're so comfortable with that, let's look at another place. Look over in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Because, see, we really do have a tendency to diminish personal prophecy once it's given to us. In Matthew chapter 4, look at this. Jesus is obviously, you know, he's talking to the devil here and all this. The devil's tempting him and so forth. But look what Jesus says. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see that? By every word. You say, well, Brother Martin, what are you telling me? Are you telling me that we are supposed to take these prophecies and that they're, you know, scripture? And I actually I've had that question posed to me. No, they're not scripture. Scripture is what is contained in that book you hold in your lap right now, the Bible. But I want to ask you a question. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As you read through those four Gospels, every now and then you see places where the ink is red. Now that represents something that Jesus said, does it not? Jesus received it from whom? God. Now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, speaking strictly of the 3.5 years of his ministry. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do you really think that they cover, or no, that they include every word that Jesus spoke for 3.5 years? What does it mean? That means there are a lot of words that he spoke, but they were not recorded in the Bible. You understand it? This is not a hard thing to get a hold of here. Now, if all those words that he spoke that were not included in the Bible, were they any less important than the words that are in red ink in the Bible? Think of it this way. Let's say that you had been in a group, and in that group, Jesus is teaching. And what he taught is actually now recorded in the book of Mark. Right there in red. I mean, there, and you were there when he did that. But there are times when he ministered to people. Remember this? How that there were people that were healed and so on and so forth. If you had been there that day for this particular message, and he said something to you about what God wanted to do in your life, would that be as important to you as everything else he said that day? Coming from the mouth of Jesus himself, would that have been as important to you? And if you went back to your friends and they say, well, where were you yesterday? You say, oh, yesterday, Jesus, he was over here in Galilee. And man, you should have seen it. I don't know. Thousands of us were there. And he was teaching. And, you know, he said a whole lot of things. But let me tell you what he said to me. You think that would happen? Were you talking about Jesus? All these people that got healed? He said something to you? Yeah, let me tell you what he said to me. It carries a level of importance. So now, bringing it home to us today. If Jesus spoke a word to somebody, or if Paul spoke a word to somebody, or Peter, or James, do you think those people would have taken it seriously? Possibly so, hopefully so. Us today, it's the same thing. When God speaks to somebody and he uses an earthen vessel to do it, should we not take it seriously? Should we not accept it as coming from God? Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. So we come to the services and we say, oh God, I want a word. I want a what? Word. From whom? The Lord. I want a word from the Lord. Oh, he's used in the gift of prophecy. We need to go to that service and get a word from the Lord. Jesus says, you're to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Now, if God thought it was important enough to speak it to you, or to me, whatever the case would be, should we not accept that as something relative to his divine plan for our lives? Should we not? It's not Scripture, and it never will be Scripture. But since it came from the same source, doesn't it carry the same weight? And this is where so many Christians mess up. Because what we do is we take the Bible and we put it way up here, and anything else that God speaks directly to us, we put it way down here. And we count it as having less importance to our lives. And people constantly, Christians are crying out, I just want to know what to do. I just want to know God's will for my life. Why won't God speak to me and tell me what He wants? I want to hear from God. Then when He speaks, we put it down here on the bottom shelf. Why do we do that? It's because we do not esteem the vessel delivering the message as truly being from God. That's exactly why we do it. People, you know, they get uncomfortable with things like this. Well, that's all right, fine. But you have to answer for it. We are supposed to live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Jesus did not say, man shall live only by those things recorded in Scripture. He did not say that. Now, did He? You know why a lot of Christians would have trouble with this message? It's because this is the kind of thing that nobody really thinks of. And we have been literally in a... unknowingly trained to diminish personal prophecy. Now let's carry this forward. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So personal prophecy, these words that come forth, they are not Scripture, but if they come from the same source, I would think they would carry the same weight. All right. If God said, okay, I'll give you one. I've used this one before. This happened several years ago here in this church. The Lord gave a word of warning to somebody. And I don't remember the exact words, but in essence what it was this. If you don't repent, you're going to die. And I knew who it was for. And that individual also knew it was for him. He even leaned over to the person next to him and said, that's for me. He said, well, praise God, I'm glad he received that word. No, he heard it. But he did not receive it because 30 days later he dropped dead in a driveway. Just dropped dead. He refused to receive it. He heard it, but he refused to receive it. God spoke to him. If Jesus Christ himself had walked in here and materialized in front of this fellow and said this, he might have taken it more seriously. But he didn't think it was that valuable because it was verbalized through a human being. Will you realize that Jesus was a human being when he spoke everything that's recorded and read? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It's very similar to what we just saw over there in Isaiah. God's given me the tongue of the learned. In other words, He gave me things that I didn't know ahead of time. Now, relative to personal prophecy, when somebody is delivering a prophetic word, what they're doing, look in verse 7, they are speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, but God has ordained before the foundation of the world that it would be to our glory to receive that word. In other words, when God speaks, until you get the word, you never knew what He was going to say, did you? I mean, you didn't know what He was going to tell you. You didn't even know if... I mean, by the time Wednesday night was over and everybody's coming up, all the people that didn't come up at first, and they all came up, why? Because they're hoping to get a word. God's going to say something good. Well, praise God, He did. Now, when this is in operation, it is what is spoken was formerly a mystery, but now it is wisdom revealed. Okay? Before you received the word, you didn't know it. Whatever it was, you didn't know it. But now that it's been spoken, it's something that God has delivered unto you by His divine power. And you'll notice in verse 13, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. When a word comes forth, sometimes those words can pertain to things in the natural. Lord says such and such, your job, blah, blah, whatever. I don't know. What, anything. It could pertain to something in the natural. That's how it seems. But you need to understand that every word that comes forth is spiritual in origin and foundation. Every word that comes forth. It impacts the realm of the natural, but it is spiritual in origin and foundation. Because God is a spirit, and that's the platform from which He operates. So every word that He gives to us through an individual has some sort of spiritual relevance to our lives. We're looking at what we're hoping for as good, positive, natural results. And God is saying, no, wait a minute, you don't understand, because this is primarily to impact you on a spiritual level. It will produce natural results, but it is spiritual in origin and foundation. Now in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, look here, turn over to chapter 4. And look what is written in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, now look here, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay, now when a personal prophecy has been given, whatever it's about, doesn't matter. That prophecy had been a mystery. It is now wisdom revealed unto you, and you now are responsible to be the steward of that mystery. That word that God... Listen, think of it like this. Put it in human terms. God put the entire universe on hold just so He could engage in a personal audience with you to speak something to you that you previously did not know. Oh, maybe you suspected it and so on and so forth. And sometimes prophetic words can be kind of like reminders of something He said before. As in, when are you going to do this? And so God has now delivered unto us a mystery. And we are now responsible to steward that mystery. God never speaks anything into our lives that He does not want it to produce some sort of change. So now that that word has been given to us, we have the responsibility to steward that mystery. I want to show you something. Look over in Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119. Remember, God has already spoken to us and said that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of His mouth. So if He delivers out of His mouth through a vessel of clay a mystery revealed that we refer to as a personal prophecy or word of wisdom or whatever we want to call it, then that word that He has given to us is now a mystery that is supposed to be a part of our lives. We're supposed to be living by that. In Psalm chapter 119, look in verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. And we think, praise God, hallelujah. Yes, amen, the Bible. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Glory to God. Scripture cannot fail. And God's in heaven saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. Uh-huh, that's right. But what about the word I gave to you on Wednesday night? And so what are you talking about, Lord? Forever, My word is settled in heaven. If I gave you a word, do you not understand that forever that word is settled in heaven? Think about this. When He gives you a word, it is not contained in Scripture. Like Wednesday night, everybody that got a word, not one of you received a word that was a quote from Scripture. Scripture may have been referenced, But the word you received can't be found anywhere in the Bible. But do you understand that in heaven, in the book that has your name on it, that prophetic word that you received has been recorded? It is settled. It's never going away. It's there permanently. Forever, His word to you is settled in heaven. And okay, we read in Scripture where it talks about, you know, well, you need to pray and, you know, we need to worship and all those things. Yes, yes, I know. And God's waiting for the day that we make that decision that we're going to pray and we're going to worship. I know He's waiting, He's waiting. But you need to understand God is also waiting for the day that we make a decision to act on these words that He has given to us. Forever, His word is settled in heaven. Why pray? Oh, God, I want a word from the Lord. Why go to the services? Oh, yes, want a word from the Lord. Why look at people say, I got a word from the Lord, and then turn around and dismiss it as though it's just a roller coaster ride during a service? That prophecy that the Lord gave to you is settled forever in heaven. It is a part of the book of your life. It is never going to change. It's there permanently. And we're supposed to steward it now. We're supposed to take it and apply it to our lives. But typically, we just don't do that. We're just happy that, you know, God called me out in front of everybody and gave me a word. Everybody saw that I got a word. Now I'm somebody important. Hallelujah. You mean you weren't before you got a word? God must have thought you were important all along, or He'd have never taken the time to give you a word in the first place. Just because He doesn't call you out in public, hey, when you live your life dependent upon being called out publicly, and that becomes your badge of honor in life, to be called out publicly, do you understand you're missing God? He'll speak to you every day. His intention is to fellowship with us, not just visit every few months in a church service. So this word that He has given, it's settled in heaven permanently. It's in the book of your life. I'll say it like this, don't think I'm being blasphemous, but you know, your personal scripture, if you will. You know what I mean by that? It's recorded with your name on it. Now there are times when a word may be given to somebody, and you're there in the congregation and you're listening to this. And God's speaking and He's giving this person, you know, the Lord is saying that sama and blah blah and et cetera. And you know, you're sitting or you're further down the line or whatever. And on the inside, it's like God begins to speak to you and say, they may be up there as the focal point of this word, but you need to pay attention because this is for you too. Just because you're not the one in the line, eyeball to eyeball with the preacher who's delivering this word, just because you're not the one standing in front of the Isaiah who's speaking this, if God says it's for you, it's for you. And not only that, but if God says it's for you, you need to understand it has now been recorded in the book of your life. And if God says it, you're accountable for this. If God says that, you know, it may be them up there, but this is for you too. Listen to this. I want you to receive this. Then you better receive it. And accept it as though you were the person standing in the line to whom this was being spoken directly. And you say, well, okay. I got to take this seriously. What do I do? Well, for one thing, get the recording if at all possible. Even if it is one of the, where the other person's up here and that individual's on the prayer line and the preacher is speaking to that person, and then the Lord says, listen up, because this is for you too, try to get that recording. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, and I'm not going to ask for anybody to, you know, just sit and listen. But after Wednesday night, knowing that basically everybody here received a word from God, how many of you have requested the CD of that service? And if you haven't, I'm not trying to give anybody a hard time here, but you've made one of the greatest mistakes of your life. Because if God took the time to speak this, why doesn't it matter? Why don't you care enough to want to hear what God has to say to you? I personally believe that there are many Christians who have been in lines, received prophetic words, dismissed them, and now they're wondering why God isn't moving them forward. It's because they didn't act on the word they received 5 years ago, 10 years ago. God's waiting. He told them. They wanted information about their calling, their whatever it is, you know, their life. They wanted instruction. What do I do? And God told them what to do. God told them what to do. And they just dismiss it. So God's waiting for them to act on what they receive. You say, well, you know, I mean, it's 5 years ago. How are they supposed to remember? Didn't the Holy Spirit say something about He'll bring to your remembrance? He can do this. Okay, God, what am I missing? Was there a word given to me 5 years ago that I haven't done anything with that I need to remember? If so, please help me. He says, no problem. I can do that. I haven't forgotten it. I can remind you of things. So what you want to do is get the recording. And then after you get the recording, transcribe it. Just listen to it, pray in the Spirit, and transcribe it either by hand or on your computer. And you take this word, and you make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. There are a lot of preachers who have prophesied things that absolutely do not line up with Scripture. You can dismiss those words real quick. But you want to make sure that the Word, I'm not saying that it is Scripture or that it's a quote from Scripture, but that it lines up with the standards of God's character and nature as revealed in Scripture. That it's not something that goes beyond the boundaries of what God has established in His Word. And then you also want to do this. You want to pray and you want to get direction from God. You want to ask Him, what exactly does this mean to me? How does it apply to me? What do I need to do with this right now? Many times what people will do is they'll take a word and, you know, it's like a track meet. And they're the sprinter. And like, boom, I got a word, I got to do this. He says, no, you don't. No, you stop. You receive a word, you stop. If God's the one that gave you the word, which He is, then you want to call yourself a personal time out and get with Him to have Him minister to you about this word. I know what I heard, but let's face it, many times when we're in these kinds of services and words are going forth, there are a lot of emotions that are involved. And many times you may not remember clearly what God said. Or you may misunderstand, or you may have misunderstood what He said to you. You may have thought He said jump when He said run. That's why you need to go back over this and listen to it again. It's funny how people come to me, you remember in the line when you were, you know, giving me that word? It's like, no, I don't remember. Well, you know, you said some blah, blah. I'm sorry, I don't remember. I just, sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you pray and ask God, what does this mean to me? How does this apply to my life? What am I supposed to do with this? There may be times where He's given you instructions, but He doesn't want you acting on the instructions now. He's given you the instruction, but He wants you to spend time in spiritual preparation with Him for the walking out of that instruction later on. Now, once you get these words, whether it's 1 or 100, doesn't matter, save them. Put them in a book so you can review them later on. This is very, very important. And every now and then it would do you good to go back. Well, one of the mistakes that I've made is that I didn't do what I'm sharing with you all the years that I've received words, you know, from long ago and whatever. I've learned now. You know, I was like most people. I just, okay, praise God, got a word, hallelujah, okay, got to go to work tomorrow. Let's get on with life. And I did not value that word the way that I should have. And it was a mistake on my part. So there are a lot of words that were spoken over me that I did not steward properly. And God is, like I shared, you know, He'll help you with those mistakes. But you want to save, now that you know this, you want to save these. Put them in a notebook. Do something, but keep these handy. Review them every now and then. I remember one time I came across a word that the Lord gave me, and it was like He'd given it to me 3 or 4 years ago, or 3 or 4 years prior to when I saw it again. And I had to repent because there were some things that I hadn't done that He had wanted me to do. And thank God I saved that. Well, it's very important to compile those in a book and then review them every now and then. But also, you want to make these words a part of your speech and your confession. Now, here's what I mean. Let's say somebody is in a prayer line. And all their life they've been criticized and abused and all these kind of things. And they've got a terrible self-image. And the Lord speaks to them and says, you know, you're precious to me. I love you. And you're very special to me. You are not a loser. You're a winner. You're a champion. I see you as glowing with my glory. I mean, just all kinds of things that the Lord would say to encourage that person. Now, what that person would need to do is to take that word and use that word from God, which is a variation on the theme of things He's already said in Scripture. We're more than conquerors, seated in heavenly places with Christ, so on and so forth. And make that word a part of their confession and a part of their speech. And what I mean by that is, Satan comes, Jesus is warned, Satan comes immediately to steal the word that is sown. Well, in that particular example, Satan would come to try to tell that person, that stuff's not true. You know, you're the loser now that you were in high school. You're the no good now that you were, you know, 5 years ago, whatever. You know what you did in your past. You're a bum, you're a this, and so on. What you do is you say, no. God Himself said, I am beautiful in His sight. God said, I am precious before Him. God said, I glow with the glory of His presence. And you just begin to make this a part of your speech, because as you do, the fact that He has said it and you have received it and now you are declaring it over your life, that word becomes your life. You become what He has said over you. Or you will begin to see the things manifest. There are some words that have been given to me over the years that are very relative and pertinent, you know, to my future, to my ministry, and so on and so on. I mean, really, they all are. And the thing is, you can let these things slip. And that's addressed in the New Testament about letting these things, you know, these promises slip and so on and so forth. And it's important that we don't do this. It's important that we take these prophecies that God has given to us and steward them properly so that they can bear the fruit that He desires. And keep in mind that not all prophecy is supposed to manifest tomorrow. Now, if God says, you know, to somebody, there's change coming in your life, you know, when you wake up tomorrow, you don't say, okay, everything's changed. God says, no. I said, there is change coming. This is a process. You need to keep seeking me so this process can be worked out in your life and confirmed and the change can take place. Patience is a key in this, an absolute key. God said, change is coming in my life. Therefore, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive all the change that you desire, all the change that you see, all the change that you want. I receive the change so that my future is everything that you desire, everything that you've planned. I receive change and my life is changed according to your will. You see what I'm saying? You make this a part of your speech and a part of your confession. Now here's the thing. If you don't receive the word that's spoken over you, and you don't act on it, why should you expect it to manifest? I'll give you a couple of examples. I'll give you one example. I've known of people over the years that received words from me. In fact, I will be very specific without naming names. There's a particular preacher who's known to be used of God to give people prophetic words. And we always liked it when he came to our church because everybody's hoping to get a word, a good one. And there were people who were there in the services. They were called out. And this preacher would, you know, make reference to some scripture and so forth. Here's what the Lord's saying to you. And some of these prophecies that he gave were prophecies of financial increase. And you're going to increase mightily and so on and so forth and all this other. Okay? And you know, everybody else is sitting there listening to it. I wish that was me. I wish that was me. Well, a few years go by. And I can remember talking with somebody who had been in one of those services and received that kind of a word. And what they said was, I don't remember the exact words, but, yeah, you know, so-and-so was here and gave me that word. It, you know, it ain't happened. Like 5-6 years later, it ain't happened. I haven't seen it yet. You ever heard the term, choose your battles? Well, I knew that that's not the time to engage in a, well, what have you done with the word since then? What have you done? Here's what they did. I'll show you. They were in the service. They heard the word. Mentally, they received it. But in reality, here's what they did. Okay, I'm waiting. Well, it's been 5 years. I'm supposed to be rich by now. It's been 7 years. I'm supposed to be wealthy by now. And they've done nothing with that word that was given. And so now what they do is they call the preacher a false prophet. In one situation, and I won't go into the details, but in one situation where this happened, that person's life completely fell apart. They lost everything, including their marriage. Didn't have to be that way. That wasn't a part of the prophecy. And I don't know if they've recovered yet. When you receive this word, it's just like the word of salvation. You acted on, thou must be born again. And you became born again. When you receive a word from the Lord, you need to understand, listen to yourself when you say that, it is a word from the Creator of the universe. And He has spoken to you, to me. And now what we need to do is we have to take this seriously and steward this. That's just like a farmer. If somebody gives him bags of seed, and you know, here it is August, and somebody says, there's nothing in your field, man. I mean, everybody else around you's got corn. How come, you know, your field is bare? He says, well, you know, I'm just waiting for something to happen. Well, what'd you do with the seed I gave you? Well, it's still out in the barn. You were supposed to sow that out there in the ground. Well, why should I do that? You gave me the seed. Why isn't it producing? It's like, gee whiz, farmer, you're pretty stupid, aren't you? Want to step outside and say that? And that's exactly what goes on in the body of Christ. People receive words and God is sowing into their lives, but they don't do anything to steward and cultivate that word. And it never does anything. It just lies there dormant. It never does anything. Now, for all of you who received words, and those of you that are watching this, and you saw the Wednesday night service, if the Lord spoke to you while somebody was receiving a word, and He said, now this is for you too, you need to write to us and get the CD recording of that service. Because we have taken that CD and we burned a CD and a track has been marked for every one of those words. Now, you'll have to go through and figure out which one is yours, okay? Because some of the words you just have to go through and listen to it. But you should be able to recognize it within the first couple of words of what is being said, first few words. You need to get this and you need to order it if you believe it was something for you. And begin to steward this, because this is a word from God. It will never appear in the Bible. We're not writing new Bible or new scripture. But in the book of your own life, it's been settled forever, and it's not going to change. Take it that seriously as a revelation of a mystery concerning your life, your future, God's will for you. Steward the words you receive and begin to see them come to pass.